You've tuned to the Turley Frequency, starring your host, Kevin Turley, with guest stars Mike Romano and Reed Hodges, and special guest stars, the members of the FCC, whom we respect respectfully. Now, time to get tuned into The Frequency. Call the show at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. Or text us at 251-928-2111. And now we cross live to the Archangel Radio Studios in downtown Fairhope to at last feel the Turley Frequency.
Welcome to Thursday's edition of the Turley Frequency. I'm your host, Kevin Turley, and for the next 2 hours, I will be edifying, educating, and illuminating, hopefully in equal measure. We meet today the educator and journalist Harry Brunius from the Christian Science Monitor to discuss all things media, news, fake news, and everything in between. We talk with Harry in the next segment. Top of the hour, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and guess what? You're invited to join us. That's right. Feel free to text me your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. Finally today, we meet up again with Rob Herbst, editor of the Catholic Week, to find out all the latest news from right across the Archdiocese of Mobile. Okay, with all that good stuff, let's get this show on the road. Hello and welcome to Thursday's edition. I hope your Thursday is going well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Whether you're out walking the dog, or whether you're lying on a beach, whether you're in a boat in Dauphin Island, maybe looking at the manatees. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are very, very welcome to this edition. Now, we talk a lot about miracles on this show, and trust me, we're going to be talking even more about them in the coming days. More on that next week. But let me ask you a question. Are you sitting comfortably, first of all, for this question? Let me ask it. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I'm looking at you and I'm speaking to you directly. Do you believe in miracles? Now, you're going to reply, well, the church teaches us and the Bible says, I get all that. I've got all that for the last 50 years. I know. But I'm asking you again, do you believe in miracles? We pray for them every day on this show, as you know. During the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we pray for miracles. And we've had some very, very interesting responses to some of our prayer requests. Were they miracles? I like to think so. But again, I ask you, do we really believe in the power of God in our lives to do miraculous things? Or is it something which died out back in the Dark Ages? Something which belongs to the Apostolic Age, right? Something from hundreds of years ago. But I want you to take a listen to this. This news report comes from last weekend.
On August 5th, a potential miracle took place in Fatima. Ximena, a Spanish pilgrim, claimed to have regained her sight after receiving the Eucharist at a Mass in Fatima during World Youth Day. Ximena is attributing this gift to Our Lady of the Snows. In fact, her family organized a novena to pray for her recovery. With the excitement over this event, an audio believed to be that of Ximena began to circulate on social networks. After receiving communion, I went to the pew. I started crying a lot because it was the last day of the novena and I wanted to be cured. I begged God a lot. And then, when I opened my eyes, I could see perfectly. It was too much. The president of the Spanish Bishops' Conference, Cardinal Omeya, after hearing what had happened, video-called the young woman from Madrid.
Y ella estaba emocionada y dijo,
she was excited, and I said, well, let's thank God for this. As this does not lead to the beatification of anyone, because the Virgin is already a saint, it is a grace from God. So let's thank him, and that's it. Later, the doctors will have to evaluate how she was, if she could be cured, if she could not be cured. But for the moment, for the girl, it is an important moment. Let's say a miracle. I could not see, and now I see. The doctors will be able to say the rest. But for her, she is going home with her sight. Well, blessed be God. The 16-year-old girl from Madrid lost 95% of her sight 2 years ago. At the moment of World Youth Day, she was learning how to read Braille.
So there you go. Now, I told you this story has a particular personal interest for me because I happen to know the family. And I heard about that little girl some years back. I was having dinner with a friend of mine who's a mutual friend of everybody. And he said, did you hear about so-and-so's daughter? And I said, no. And he started to explain. And he's a father of small children as well. And he was obviously quite pained. This friend of ours, his young daughter, was just gradually losing her sight. So today popped up in my feed a response from the father. Now, the father is asking for the family's privacy to be respected. So there's no names. But you can imagine that I can hear his voice as he's speaking now. So the little girl is Jemima, and she's 16 years old, and her father is naturally overcome. He was at the Mass on August 5th when this happened, which you just heard the news report, when she regained her sight. And I'm going to quote you bits and pieces from this news report from him. He says, and I can imagine him saying this, we practically didn't speak. She was crying. She just kept telling us, I see, I see. Can you imagine going to Mass with a little girl who is going blind? Just to give you some idea how bad things were getting, she was losing her sight quite rapidly, so much so that in September, next month, she was going to get her first, what we term in this country, a guide dog. You know, the dogs that help the blind. What do you call them in America, Reed?
Those would be service animals, Kevin.
Okay. So that the little animal, the little dog that normally is a Labrador in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And she would also get her first white stick, right? That was September. 16-year-old. Now, some of you are closer to 16 than I am. You can remember how full of life you are at 16? How the life, everything seems possible. So many things you want to do, so many things you want to achieve, so many things you want to experience. And this little girl is learning Braille. Being talked of with her white stick and her dog for the rest of her life. But being a 16-year-old, she kind of riles against it. She prays. She wonders why she can't be healed. She even begins to blame herself. She told her daddy, maybe I don't have enough faith. Now, for all of you that are listening, all of you that are parents, think about that. Think about your child, 16, going blind, turning to you saying, Mommy, Daddy, is it because I don't have enough faith? Just before she got communion, the father says to the reporter, she went to confession just before going to Mass. She was very excited, he said. She felt something special. And then she went to receive communion. And then he said this. Where do you hear this? He said, afterwards, she was afraid to open her eyes. Now, do you remember the family had been doing this novena? Just like the novena we're doing live on air, right? The novena to Our Lady of the Snows. And I'll tell you more about Our Lady of the Snows in a minute. But they're doing this 9-day novena, and they got all their friends to do it. Now, something crossed my mind the other day when I was reading about this, just this morning, in fact. Do you remember we told the story of the gentleman in Spain who got his body completely cured? Do you remember he had this paralyzing condition? His name was David Rodriguez Neto, and he was cured. Do you remember after doing the novena, and he had said to people, I'm going to give thanks when this novena is over because it's going to be so successful. He was Spanish, and he prayed to somebody from who was in Opus Dei. This family are in Opus Dei. I wonder, and it's just a thought, and I'll have to ask the individual when I speak to him, I wonder if they got the idea for this novena, to do a novena and to get everybody doing it from David's experience earlier this year. Just a thought, a random thought. But isn't it interesting how these things influence each other and influence us? Why are we doing this novena now on air? Because we've read so much about these novenas. We've heard these tales. Anyway, back to the moment when she got communion. She comes back to her seat and she wouldn't open her eyes. She would later say, if I don't get cured, it's because I don't have faith. That would be confirmation in her mind that her faith was not enough. And then she opened her eyes. And then she started crying. And there's a really, really cute thing she said later. You know, when she saw all her friends for the first time in 2.5 years, do you remember? She hadn't seen all her friends from school and everything properly for 2.5 years. You know what she said? They all look so much older. Beautiful, right? Of course, they'd changed in 2.5 years in a way that she couldn't quite understand. Her father says it all got very emotional at that point. Understandably, right? Understandably. This child, they'd tried everything. They'd tried everything in Europe. They'd taken her to Japan to see specialist doctors. She had a very, very strange form of eye complaint condition, which was making her blind. Doctors were baffled by it in Europe. They took her to specialists in Japan. They still couldn't do anything about it. Couldn't do anything about it. So they were all going to World Youth Day, the whole family. And before they left their home in Spain, they were walking along the beach, father and daughter. The last days of little Jemima being able to make out shapes, to make out bits and pieces. Remember, her sight was slowly stopping, slowly disappearing. Just imagine being that parent walking along the beach, knowing that this is the last time that your daughter might be able to make out the shapes of the sea, the beach, the rocks. So they walked along this beach in Malaga in Spain. And they found an image of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, among the rocks. And at that point, father and daughter decided to place everything in the hands of Providence, to entrust everything and this young woman's sight into God's hands. And no doubt, because she was 16 and full of energy, she decided to get the whole world praying for her, as many friends as possible. And that's what happened. And she chose Our Lady of Snows, feast day August 5th. So they started the novena July 28th. And she was leaving Lisbon for Lisbon on that same day, July 28th. So what happened then happened. I won't read you all the other things that the father has been saying, but he said something which struck me as very, very interesting. You know, she was learning Braille. Do you remember we were talking about the manatee the other day? Do you remember we were joking about Moby Dick and Moby manatee? Well, guess what the novel that she was learning to read in Braille when she went to World Youth Day? It was Moby Dick. And now she can pick up and read that novel in the printed page. There's no more talk of stick, cane, support animal, none of that talk. The girl is totally transformed. And so is her family, I would say. They're describing it as a miracle, the beauty of a miracle. Her father sums it up by saying, when you take a leap in faith, you don't look back. You only look forward. Well, I have to say, I did look back. I looked back at an article I wrote recently about World Youth Day. I was asked by the editors of the National Catholic Register to write an article about World Youth Day and to interview a number of people who had wonderful experiences there. And I talked about this the other day. Do you remember I talked about the young Englishman who had gone to World Youth Day and his life had been totally and radically changed? And there was something in that that struck me, and I went back and looked at it. Now, for anybody who knows about writing, you write things sometimes weeks in advance and then you forget all about them. And sometimes you go back and read them and think, did I write that? It's been so long since you can remember putting it together. So there was something in that article that I wanted to check, and I don't know what it was. And then I found it. I interviewed three people. The layman I spoke about, a parish organizer from Colorado, and a young priest from the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. And he said something really interesting, which stayed with me. I asked him what his hopes were for World Youth Day. And he talked about the usual things that he was hoping for. And then he said, Fatima is more relevant than ever. Our Lady chose young people who were shepherds and who needed to learn more about the truth of the Word of God, to be formed and encouraged to bear witness to the world. It suddenly struck me, absolutely. World Youth Day, Fatima. Where did this young lady receive her sight, the 16-year-old Jemima? At Fatima, during World Youth Day. And this is what the priest concluded with. Our Lady is going to be there, interceding for these next generations, he said. I am confident that God will be working imperceptibly in these lives. And I hope they are not afraid to say yes to what God is inviting them to. Well, Our Lady definitely looked after little Jemima, a 16-year-old little girl from Madrid, when she arrived at Fatima. But there's one other thing that struck me. It's maybe just the way my mind works. The name Jemima in Spanish, it's written in a certain way. It's in a strange name, right? I don't know if it's a direct translation. I thought it was Jemima in English, but it's not. It's not at all. It's closely linked to the name Jemimo, or it's the female version of Jemimo, which is close to the Basque Simon, which is close to our Simon, or Simeon. Now, those of you who know your Bible know who Simeon was, right? Simeon was the man in the Gospels, Gospel of Luke, who welcomes Joseph and Mary in the temple, and he picks up the child, remember? And he says the very beautiful Nunc Dimittis, you know, which is prayed every single day in monasteries around the world. And you know that translation, which goes as follows. Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Because my eyes have seen thy salvation. What was the first thing that Jemima saw when she opened her eyes? Let me quote you exactly what she said. I saw the altar. I saw the tabernacle. Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation. Okay, when we come back, we're changing gears and talking about secular news, not the good news. So stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here live. live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. The Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I'm your host Kevin Turley, and it is great to have your company this morning. I hope your morning, your Thursday morning, is going well. So my next guest is very, very interesting. His father, his grandfather indeed, drove a bulldozer, and his father drove a garbage truck. And like both of them, his name is Harry Brunius. And he grew up in the blue-collar neighborhoods of Chicago's South Side. Now, the younger Harry, he too used to shovel concrete carrying a 22-ounce hammer, where he helped to construct the foundations for many modest suburban homes. But this third-generation member of the Brunius family eventually hung up his tool belt, put away his hammer, and instead moved to New York City with a dream of becoming a writer. Now he lives in Manhattan and has been writing for the Christian Science Monitor since 1999. Today, Harry is the Christian Science Monitor's New York staff writer and editor, where he covers politics and other regional news. And he joins me down the line this morning. Harry, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for that introduction.
It's quite a backstory you've got there. Sounds like a movie. Are you writing a screenplay by any chance?
I'm a South Side boy from Chicago.
Right. And you've migrated across to New York City now to become a writer. Now, listen, a lot of people go to New York City or to London or wherever, and they say, I want to be a writer, but you actually achieved it. What's the secret, Harry? I know you teach journalism students. You must get a lot of inquiries from people saying, Harry, how do you do this? I mean, what do you say to those people whose stars are in their eyes and they want to get on the written page somehow?
Yeah, well, it was a much, much different landscape back in 1999 when I started writing for the Monitor, and I think it's fair to say things have become, on one hand, much, much more difficult, and on the other hand, in some ways, much, much easier. Of course, the social media revolution, you know, that happened around Facebook went online around 2007. And now, you know, people talk about, you know, this in journalism, but anyone now can go online, publish a self-published book, and look for an audience. And if you're, you know, adept at, you know, social media and can find a message that will resonate with, say, what, you know, a couple thousand, even a couple hundred thousand people, you can do quite well. On the other hand, the...
Whoops, I think Harry's line has just gone down.
Yes,
we'll
I'm
try
afraid
and get him
we
back.
Lost him. I'll get him back in just a second.
That's okay. So we're in discussion with Harry Brunius, who, as you can hear, is the Christian Science Monitor's New York staff writer and editor. And as we heard, we're hearing Harry had an unorthodox beginning. He was working on a building site, it sounds like, out in Chicago when he's decided to head to New York City and become a writer. And as we've just been hearing, it was a different time in 1999. The internet was not as global or omnipresent as it is today, so it was more difficult. There were more barriers, I guess, to people accessing the world of journalism and getting their names in print or getting a byline of some sort on a publication. So he successfully did that. He's also an educator. He teaches at Hunter College in New York City, and he teaches the whole subject of journalism, which I'm interested in exploring further with him. So we're just trying to get Harry back at this time. Of course, we live in an era when news is controversial. Now, the news wasn't always controversial. I can remember a time growing up when the news was the news. Outlets like the BBC would just, in a very boring fashion, regurgitate what the news was. And we never thought about angles or what way the news was being shaped. We did think about that a little bit in newspapers. Newspapers always had partisan leanings, one way or t'other, I think in every single country. A newspaper without an opinion would be a very boring newspaper. But since then, since my childhood, the world has gone completely crazy in a sense, and news has become as controversial, or the news carriers have become as controversial as the news they carry sometimes.
All right, Kevin, we should be fully restored.
Harry, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
My apologies.
No, it's good. It always makes me laugh, Harry. We had somebody on from NASA who was talking about setting up, bases on Mars and the communication. And I said, we have problems connecting on the phone with people in the United States. Never mind. So anyway, it's good to have
Even
you back.
Even from NASA, and I just, yeah.
Now, listen, I was just saying, I mean, your education, or you're educating the up-and-coming journalists at Hunter College. You were just beginning to explain how you shape, not dampen their enthusiasm, but perhaps how you make it realistic in the world that we're moving into, where journalism is very, very different from even, say, 1999, never mind 1959.
Yeah. And you could say a lot about what has happened to the profession of journalism over the 20 years, and these are more structural issues that we were just talking about with social media, opening up audiences for a variety of different voices and perspectives. And, back in, 2010, when we were talking about, the revolution around the world as...
Oh, dear.
Yep,
these things happen, at least...
Again.
At least this is proofread. This is live radio, folks. This is not a podcast. I am not an AI chatbot. I've never been accused of that. You could never find an AI chatbot that could come out with the stuff that I come out with, I don't think, even if you tried to program it. We're going to get Harry back. Reed's doing his very best. And if there's anybody listening from NASA, you know those ideas you had about starting Mars bases? You might want to think twice about that. I mean, if we have problems connecting with New York City, what chance have we got of connecting with the dark side of the moon? Never mind Mars, Just a thought. Okay, so we're talking about news, and we're talking about the way that news has been consumed, but also the way it's been manipulated over the years. And it's got to the point where people don't really know what is the news and what is not the news anymore. People are fake news is as common a refrain as here is the news. And if somebody doesn't like the news, politicians or otherwise, they often shout fake news. That's what they shout back. So that's what happens sometimes when we are talking about the news. Now, the good news is that you get the news here on Archangel Radio. And we don't give you just the bad news. We give you the good news. The good news that the church is still alive and well. You heard our guest yesterday, Harry Crocker. Do you remember at the end? He had a very interesting analysis. Do you remember he's written two books, one about the history of the U.S. military and one about the history of the church? And he's more optimistic about the church than he is about the United States of America. I thought that was very interesting. This is a historian, somebody who's researched the history, looked at both the church history and the secular history, and he is extremely enthusiastic about the future of the church. Now, I have to say, on a spiritual level, that doesn't surprise me. It's become a bit of a cliche, but we've all read that last page of the Bible, right? And guess what, guys? We win. The Lord returns and the New Jerusalem comes down from the heavens and all is once more made fresh again.
All right, Kevin, we should be restored. I'm not 100% sure. Let's try it out and see if we can hear him.
All right, let's try. Harry, calling Harry. Harry, are you orbiting the Earth or are you in New York City? I'm beginning to wonder.
Okay, Kevin, he said he's unable to hear you. Give me just a second.
Okay, all right. So I'm beginning to wonder if Harry is working for NASA and has actually gone to one of their moon bases in Mars and is just testing it out. No, I'm only joking. Harry works for the Christian Science Monitor, and it's a very reputable news organization. So the good news you get here on Archangel Radio every single day. And the good news is, well, it's the news through a Catholic lens, I guess. We do part of that on this show. It may not look like it or sound like it at times. You might wonder, what is this all to do? Well, it's actually trying to look at the world through the eyes of faith. That's what Catholic media ultimately is about. And you might say, well, why have you got this angle? Well, let me tell you something. Every single news outlet has an angle. Are you trying to tell me that CNN doesn't have an angle? Fox News doesn't have an angle? The BBC doesn't have an angle? And so on and so forth. They all have angles. We have an angle too, but our angle, our antennae, is towards heaven. It's towards the salvation history which is unfolding before our very eyes. Everything that's happening is moving towards that moment, that last page of the Bible, that parousia, which is the theological term for the return of our blessed Lord.
Okay,
that's
Kevin,
what all.
Sorry to keep interrupting you.
That's okay. No, I'm expecting it. We're eagerly anticipating Harry to come. Or shall we take a break, a quick break?
It should be fine. I think we have him on there now, so okay, we can continue for a few more minutes.
Let's check. Harry, are you back amongst us?
I am.
You know, I've had more luck at seances than this, Harry. You know that? Only joking. Only joking. I don't believe in seances. So listen, Harry, you were just sort of, for the second time, telling us about how you encourage but also realistically set out the parameters of a career in journalism for your students today. Do you want to just give us some insight into that?
Yeah, and I was just listening to what you were just saying too about the various perspectives that we bring to, you know, news reporting and such. But I, you know, before we got cut off, I was kind of explaining what has happened to the industry of journalism. You know, local journalism has basically disappeared, and most local news outlets are owned by much larger corporations and businesses.
No. Listen, let's go for a break. We'll take a short break now. And when we come back, we will get Harry sort of welded to a landline somewhere and ask him to use some pennies, some dimes, and phone us from the payphone outside the Christian Science Monitor building. How about that? Reed, shall we go for a break?
Yes, that'll be great.
Okay, listen, we're in conversation, sort of, with Harry Brunius, but hopefully more when we come back. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. To the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. This morning we are talking all things journalism with Harry Brunius, who is a staff writer with the Christian Science Monitor and who joins me down the line from New York City. Harry, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. Harry, can you hear me?
Uh-oh, Kevin, I'm afraid this one's not going to work out.
No,
for us.
It's not meant to be. Not meant to be. Not to worry. Okay, that was Harry Brunius. That was a very short interview with
Darn
Harry Brunius.
It.
He sounded such an interesting man as well. His backstory was fascinating, but I'm afraid the technology has let us down.
Yes. We'll try again in the next week or so. We'll try to get him back on here.
Sure. No problem at all. Now, while we're on the subject, as we were just discussing in the first segment, we were talking about that wonderful story of little Jemima, the 16-year-old, and her miracle in Fatima. And we linked that to what the priest said about the young people going to World Youth Day and what would happen at Fatima and how Our Lady would be specially present to them. But boy, was she specially present to that family and to that little girl. But we also talked about how Jemima's name is very mysterious because it's very unusual. I thought it was Jemima as in English, but it's not at all. Its root is Simeon. And we know about Simeon in the Bible, and how he took our Lord in the child Jesus in his arms and said, "Now my eyes have seen the salvation." Coincidence? I don't think so. Now, we're praying the novena here live on air at the moment. We're praying a novena to Our Lady in the run-up to the Assumption, the Feast of the Assumption, next Tuesday. And we've been trying, I think we missed one day, to be honest, but we've been trying to pray it on air every single day, and we will be praying it on air before this segment ends. But for those of you who still think, and there can't be very many of you left, but there might be one or two who think that novenas are old hat, and hey, why do you need a novena? Can't I just go straight to the Lord? Well, of course you can, right? If you're not a Catholic or you don't understand novenas, just pray to the Lord. Absolutely. But over the last few months, I've given you two indications where we've had miracles as a result of novenas. There's something humble about doing a novena. There's something about putting yourself into the rhythm of 9 days of prayer for something. And remember, the source of novenas, the starts of novenas. Do you remember yesterday we had Jim on the show? Jim was talking to us, a new board member, talking to us about baseball. And do you remember the number 9 kept coming up? And he said it. He said 9 is the number of days that Our Lady was with the apostles from the resurrection, the ascension of our Lord to Pentecost. Do you remember? The coming of the Holy Spirit. So we have a biblical root for these 9 days of prayer. And who better to pray with than our Blessed Mother? If that was what the first apostles went and did, why don't these latter-day apostles, these latter-day 21st century apostles, you and me, why don't we pray with Our Lady? So we're bringing her all our needs in these days, in the run-up to the Assumption, August 15th. Now, I came across a very funny article. Well, it's not just funny. It's also very, very interesting. But it's from way, way back, 2016, and it's by Patty McGuire Armstrong, who now writes quite regularly over at the National Catholic Register as well. And she always has an interesting angle, Patty McGuire Armstrong. And this article was entitled, "Why Pray Novenas?" And it was kind of amusing because she had that kind of, why do I need to pray novenas? Why don't I just go straight to God, et cetera, et cetera. And then she had a couple of situations with her husband where their backs were against the wall. And they started novenas to St. Jude. Now, I like St. Jude. I'm sure you do too. St. Jude is the patron saint of hopeless causes, which I love, right? I mean, if you're going to pray big, if you're going to pray big or go home, right? So hopeless causes, and you must have one in your life, right? Maybe it's a work situation. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a health situation. Something that you just don't think there's any solution to it, any way out of it. Well, St. Jude is your man. St. Jude is your man. And she tells a very interesting story whereby she and her husband, this is Patty McGuire Armstrong, they had rented out a house, and the couple were hoping to sell the house or to do something with it, but they found that they couldn't because the renters had trashed the home, and they were also refusing to leave. Worst, absolute nightmare, right, for a landlord. Absolute nightmare. You've got the tenants from hell who are turning your house into a dumpster. And they didn't know what to do. They really didn't know what to do. These people weren't paying rent. They were destroying the property. It was the worst nightmare, right? Absolute disaster. So around this time, Patty read about St. Jude of Hopeless Causes, and she thought, well, this is a hopeless cause. She said, surely our situation was hopeless, exclamation mark. Neither of us had ever prayed a novena before, but in desperation, we decided we had nothing to lose. Where have you heard that before? Every single day on this show, when I say to you, do you want some prayers at the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which we will be praying at the top of the hour? And I always say, what have you got to lose?
It's interesting when people get back to square one, Kevin, that's kind of what they return to when they find themselves not desolate, but desperate, I guess.
Absolutely. No, this is part of God's way. God is teaching us in this. When there's no other solution, then the Lord steps in, because you know it is him. Now, listen to what happened to Patty and her husband after this, right? So they prayed the novena, 9 days of prayer for this hopeless situation with these hopeless renters destroying the property. I'm going to quote what she said. As soon as we finished the novena, our renters called us. They were very upset. They said they're leaving the next day. They had heard what sounded like a loud explosion in the basement, and it totally freaked them out. They were leaving immediately. I love that. Now, she turned to her husband. They were in a state of shock. So they left. And off they went. Now, the problem wasn't solved. They had this house that was needing total renovation. They had two mortgages, remember. They didn't have anybody to rent this property. The situation, it wasn't in a fit state to rent out. You know, there was another problem that immediately presented themselves as these renters from hell headed off into the distance.
Kevin, we have a special guest caller. I know you're in the middle of.
They're going to have to hold because I've got to finish this story. I've got to finish this story. This is too good a story to just break in. I'm sorry, whoever's calling. So a couple of days after that, Patty's husband's parents called from Hawaii, where they had just relocated for retirement. Just right. Now, you know, any of you who have retired, you know that the situation of retiring, there's a lot of thought goes into it, a lot of planning, especially if you're going to retire to Hawaii, okay? Well, they called a few days later and said they had a change of heart and they wanted to come back to the continental United States and they wanted to rent a house. So she said, well, we've got this house. She said, we'll take it. They'll take it. So the parents-in-law moved into the house and they immediately started doing up the house. Now, there you go. That's the power of a novena. That's the power of St. Jude. Okay, Reed, let's find out who's on the telephone.
Sure, Kevin. It is our esteemed executive producer, Michelle McAloon.
Put her through.
Hey,
Michelle,
Kevin.
If it's about the guest, I'm afraid. Listen, guests have got to pay their phone bills. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Maybe that's what happened. I have to tell you something really funny since you're talking about novenas. The Our Lady of the Snows. Do you know what happened 4 days ago in Germany? They had a major snowstorm in a small city in southern Germany. And they were calling it Our Lady of the Snows. So you taught me this, Our Lady of the Snows, the novena to the Holy Mother, and it came about in 300 AD in Rome, correct? Where they were looking, I think they were looking to build a church, and they found a perfect snowfall on one of the hills in Rome, and they believed that was, and they had dubbed it Our Lady of the Snows. Is that correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Yes. So here we had it in Germany 3 days ago.
That's amazing. Now, you and I know, and everybody, and perhaps everybody in Alabama also knows, how rare snow in August in Rome is.
And also Germany, unless you're on top of the Zugspitz, right?
I mean, there's probably more chance of a manatee appearing in the Archangel Radio studios than snow in Rome in August, would you say?
That's a good point, Kevin. You know what? You're exactly right. But you know what? There's probably better chance of a manatee showing up in the studio since you're closer to the manatees than snow in Rome.
Listen, if there's anybody out there who's a manatee or owns a manatee and wants to bring it in to meet Reed, we would be more than happy to introduce you to our studio. Maybe they can come in and pray with their manatee during the Divine Mercy Chaplet, like St. Francis. What do you reckon?
There we go. There we go. Or our, let's, you know what, the novena to Our Lady of Snows. I'm hoping, I'm in the middle of it, so I'm hoping it's a powerful one. I think that's a sign.
I'm glad you called, Michelle, because you have called just at the right time, because we are just about to pray on air our communal novena for ourselves, our station, the show, for all our listeners. We've been praying to Our Lady, and we'll be praying the oldest prayer, a prayer I'm sure you know, one of the oldest prayers ever written or ever found, devoted to Our Lady. It's got various names. Beneath Thy Protection is one of the English translations. Sub Tuum Presidium. It dates way, way back. I think it's the mid-third century when we have written documentation of it. So would you like to stick around just for a moment and pray that with us as Reed leads us in prayer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So listen, if you're at home, what we're doing now is this is the novena we are praying here live on air, because I've been talking a lot about novenas these last few weeks. So we've decided to do one live on air and you're included in it. As long as you don't hit the off switch, you are part of our novena here on Archangel Radio during this run up to the wonderful Feast of the Assumption. So Reed, would you be so kind as to lead us in this prayer?
It would be my pleasure, Kevin. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin.
Amen.
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 Thank you very
Amen.
Much, Reed.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I guess, Michelle, we better get on with the show and get the Divine Mercy on. Have you got any intentions for us for the Divine Mercy?
Oh, for the Divine Mercy. I think, you know, let's pray for Archangel, specifically for the Turley Frequency. How about that? And its survival.
Well, you know it can do with all the prayers it can get. You said that from day one. We need all the prayers we can get on this show. So very happy to do so. But we'll also include everybody in the Macaloon family, of which I have met some of them, and they're a wonderful family. So let's pray for peace and harmony to break out in abundance throughout that wonderful family.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. That was Michelle McAloon, our belated guest here. We didn't get Harry through in the end, but we got Michelle, which is just as well. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you are invited. And I say it to you again, as I do every single day, what have you got to lose? Text me your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. Speak to you on the other side after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.